I think there's a moment of Googling everyone on my panel, and I was like, cool, this is the standard.
I was with you, and you were fangirling. It's not even.
I was like,
yeah. We're not only good at humor, we're good at so many other things. We just need to break some of our own patterns.
What I find interesting is PR can also be out of home. They can be two things, just like data and tech. You can have data and tech, but you can also have a good idea, and they can live in multiple worlds.
The work that really rose to the top was things that took a simple narrative and told it in a refreshing way, using craft as a way to elevate the idea.
They've all got to facilitate a story. They've all got to facilitate something that makes you feel something at the end of the day.
This is Talking in Creative Circles, the official podcast of The Creative Circle, the voice of South Africa's advertising industry, in partnership with Kagiso Media Radio.
Somehow we find ourselves in the middle of the year, and it's deep into global award season. As we record this episode, the rosé is being chilled in Cannes for the Lions. So it's a good time for us to check in on what's winning and how we feel about how South Africa is showing up. My name is Carl Willoughby. I'm the Chief Creative Officer of TBWA Hunt Fiscaris, and I'm the current Chair of Creative Circle. And today, I'll be your host again. With me today, I have Pete Little, CCO of Publicis Group Africa, Naledi Manama, an independent group head, art director, and Sohana Gordon, CCO of Love Song. Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Morning.
Hello. Morning.
So we were all lucky to be part of the One Show juries, and it's always an interesting experience. It was in the Dominican Republic. Some of us managed to get there. Sorry, Sohana, I can see your upside down smiley face. But can we start by sharing which panels you were on and some thoughts on what you saw? Pete.
Thanks, Carl. It's the first year I've actually judged One Show, which was super exciting. Really enjoyed the experience.
And PR, how many entries did you guys have? If you consider the volume of work and some of the stuff you're going through now, how did it feel?
I would say compared to local shows, the volume is just not a small amount. Let's just put it that way. The experience was great, but it was a little overwhelming, if I'm honest. Just loads and loads of great ideas. And you've got to unpick some of the, you know, what makes one better than the other. And it comes down to nuancing. So that I did find difficult. And you're under time constraints and you've got a day job. So that I found exciting, but also a little overwhelming. But the experience itself was really, really good. I have heard a few horror stories of egos and people jostling for their piece to get through or their best mate's piece to get through. But, you know, I had a jury set that was actually really lovely people, just really, really good people. These were people from 6 continents. It's an American award show, so there's obviously going to be a few more American-based people in there than anyone else, but really lovely people. But that didn't stop them from being absolutely brutal on the work. Fair, but brutal. So really good experience from my point of view.
Now, Lady, how was your experience? How was your panel?
So I was judging moving image craft and production because I'm a film girl. But yeah, I thought it was really such an incredible experience. Like Pete, it was my first time judging One Show, and actually physically going to the show was also an experience in itself. The caliber of work is just so incredible. I think the process as well, you know, in your first rounds and just seeing the bodies of work as they come through every week, it's almost like a sense of one-upmanship in terms of the level. That first week you see some work and you're like, oh, that's so cool. But then like there's so much more waiting for you as you go along. Yeah, it was just really incredible. And also having access to judging some of my favorite brands' work in an unbiased way. But yeah, it feels very cool to be on the other side of some of the best work in the world and judging alongside your favorite creatives, which is really awesome.
I think there's a moment of Googling everyone on my panel, and I was like, cool, this is the standard.
I was with you, and you were fangirling. It's not even
like... Sohana, you were, besides being on the audio and radio jury, you were also actually jury president. I mean, that is pretty incredible. You can't hear us clapping in the background of a gal clap, but it was pretty incredible. How was that for you?
Yeah, that was my first time being a jury president. One Show actually never used to have jury presidents before. It's something new they introduced last year. And I was quite nervous. I think it's a different role to being on the panel. I did some homework beforehand. I called Rob McLennan and Fran Lucken because they've both done it at a big international show like Cannes. So I called them up and had a chat about how to approach it because no one really, you know, teaches you this stuff. And they gave some excellent advice. And the difference from being a jury member to being a jury president is that you can't totally give everything of your opinion the way you would when you're on a panel. So your job is to steer the room, to make sure that the unheard voices are heard. What's really great is you get to give your perspective on what you're looking for this particular panel and the message you want to send out to the whole advertising world. It's also quite a technical job, because when you look at the first round of results, it's overwhelming. You just see everyone's faces are a bit shocked because they're surprised at where things landed. And so then you spend the rest of the time kind of moving pieces up and down, and it becomes quite technical. But I found the jury so thorough and so patient, because it's easy to get tired and fed up, but they weren't, and really, really caring about the work. So that was amazing. And being a JP is hard work, but it's really interesting and different.
South Africa does traditionally really well with radio and audio, right? So I guess you're seeing a body of work and you're seeing a standard from around the globe now. One piece that did well specifically in the audio category, it was the Hansa Radio. It's great radio. I really love that radio. But the thing always comes up around traditional radio, traditional audio versus audio that's tech and all that. You know, if you consider the body of work, because that's a traditional radio spot. Well done to Joe Public for that. But how did it stack up against the rest of the work?
Yeah, it was very interesting, because a lot of the work was non-traditional radio, and also the categories are serving the non-traditional space, the subcategories within radio and audio. So that also leads the kind of work that is entered. And it was very interesting, because the initial round of when we first received the results, the way it landed was that most of the work was being awarded to non-traditional pieces. And somewhere along the line, one of the judges said, "Hey, everybody, should we not look at that traditional radio? And, you know, we also want to inspire good old traditional copywriting." But what I felt was that it was not top of mind in the jury room. It was like we spent a lot of time discussing the other pieces, and it's almost like we had to make a case for that traditional work. I think there was a lot of debate. And from my side, it was hard to motivate, because, you know, the South African pieces were traditional, some of them. But I did where I could. And I think that what you saw in the final results was there because it really stood out in terms of traditional radio. So there were a few other pieces, but didn't deliver on some of the factors that we were looking for. And one of the things that I said as something I'm looking for is work that truly moves people and makes you feel something. Because from the get-go, there was a lot of AI work. And I found that it was AI for the sake of AI. And then it became really technical, and you start to lose any feeling for the piece of the work, and you almost have to ask, why are they doing this? So that was a lens at which we were looking at the work, is how does it make you feel?
Yeah, that's a thing. I was in the creative use of data and tech categories. There were actually two categories. So, like, I mean, I did a talk on it in the week, but I was like, I'm not the data and tech guy, you know? But when you look at the criteria for the work, ultimately it's about, and I guess AI and all these tools that are popping up, they've all got to facilitate a story. They've all got to facilitate something that makes you feel something at the end of the day. We are here to creatively innovate. We are here to leverage culture, to be relevant, all that stuff. But when we're innovating, it's still got to overall tell a narrative. And those were some of the criteria we had. How is tech or data being used? What is the overall story? And then something else that popped up, impact. What impact has this had? Maybe, Pete, this might be a good way in for you from PR. I mean, PR, we always as a country are like, impact, right? Like, how do we scale up against other markets? And you've probably seen a whole lot of work that's like, ah, this is great. From a PR point of view, how did you find the work? Were there themes around smaller markets, bigger markets, where the impact, it didn't, like, it felt big enough, even if it was from a small market? Did you have any learnings from that?
Yeah, I mean, you talk about kind of impact. Our jury chair, Patricia, was really good. I know Sohanna spoke a little bit earlier, is setting the standard, you know, letting the jury know what you're looking for and how to develop your thought process through the best pieces. So there was a few things. I think from a PR point of view, I think, because I've also had a lot of questions around, but what is PR and isn't that out of home instead of PR? And I think what I find interesting is, PR can also be out of home. They can be two things, just like data and tech. You can have data and tech, but you can also have a good idea, and they can live in multiple worlds. But you focus this on organic reach and earned media. So really, those are the two big criteria for the work. So brilliant idea. It can be in different spaces, but really, those are the two criteria that we concentrated on. There's a fascination in our industry still, which I do find a bit humorous, around impressions. I mean, the ability to see some, you know, to see a piece of work is always a bit of a strange one, especially one of the pieces had 18 billion impressions. And you just go, well, hold on, there's so many people in the world. And that means every person had to see it 3/8 of 24, so maybe 2.5 times each, you know. So I found that quite humorous. And we actually did discuss it. It was just like, guys, but I mean, that's not a real thing. But in the PR space, there's some really, really good ideas. It's the usuals, you know, your Spotify spread beats was in there, and that was really good. Everyday Tactician, which we all know, also really lovely. And I was pleased to say there was more than a few really good ideas that didn't require millions of dollars, that they were beautiful ideas, beautifully executed, and understand the audience really well. For example, actually, my favorite piece was a piece for Netflix. I was going to say it only won bronze, but I mean, even to get a finalist at one show is tough. So, you know, yeah, I would take a finalist at this point. But, you know, in comparison to some of the other big pieces, it was really, really good. It was a piece for Carlos Alcaraz. So he was launching his new piece on Netflix, a docu. What we loved about that piece was it was a new media or medium. Mm-hmm. If anybody watches tennis, the ATP Tour, and once you've won a match, you sign the camera. And what was beautiful about that idea is I'd never seen something like that. It was a new media, as I said, a new medium. And it was a captivated audience, right? If I was going to watch a docu on him, I would be definitely watching him playing tennis. So it was a really smart and innovative use of a new media type. And for those who haven't seen it, I really suggest go and watch it. As I said, that I only won bronze, but a piece that really inspired a lot of people in the room. So sometimes for me, the best ideas aren't going to win the golds. That's just how it is. You can have something in the room, you know, somebody will say something and then suddenly it was silver, now it's bronze. So the difference between a bronze, silver and gold is so close. I always used to think, oh, that's a bronze idea or that's a gold or a silver idea. Actually, all of them are gold ideas. How well executed and how well detailed they've put their case study together and their arguments and all of those things makes it a bronze or a gold, in this case, best of show. So it's the finer details that actually blew my mind and the discussions in the room.
Yeah, I mean, that only got a bronze. I think that did pretty well last year at Cannes, from what I remember. And I know those things aren't supposed to influence you, but I thought that was a great piece. There's a thing with the process of judging where it's almost quite a reflective process. You start questioning your standards. Things are being thrown at you and you've got to navigate these things. Like, is this big enough? Did this really make? Are we really solving a thing? The onslaught of entries that you've got to go through. Quite a reflective process in terms of almost set the standard and create your standard. But Naledi, film, craft, moving picture, what was that like? I mean, you were like smack bang in the middle of that. What were the things that came up in that space for you?
So it was quite interesting in how broad it was. I mean, film crafts is already such a broad category, but the subcategories, you know, kind of went into the finer details from, you know, your more traditional aspects of like direction and editing and cinematography, but then starts bringing in elements of tech and AI and, you know, the categories like that existed. But what I did find was the more techie pieces, other than spread beats, weren't that great. It just felt like using AI for AI's sake. And I think there's a lot of strides that still need to be made in terms of moving, I guess, globally, the industry forward in terms of just fine-tuning film crafts from that perspective. I think a lot of the really good pieces that rose to the top were your story, you know, your very simple narrative told really well and crafted incredibly. But I think the work that really rose to the top was the things that took a simple narrative and told it in a refreshing way, using craft as a way to elevate the idea. In our room, we kept saying, ideas king, craft is queen, go hand in hand, because sometimes some pieces appear on the screen and it's like, oh, this is so beautiful. But then we're all enamored by how beautiful it is. But then in dissecting the idea, it's like, you know, against something else that ticks both those boxes, then it kind of starts to fall down that ladder. Mm-hmm. We were all basically just itching for interesting concepts, thoughts, and then just elevating those thoughts with really incredible craft.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, it was a comment with Ad of the Year last year around our film and our film winners. And not comment, observation, is that the work that's winning from a film point of view in South Africa is work that feels big budget, big production, big polish, big story, mostly big track from a South African point of view, which is interesting for like, feels like we're not necessarily the country with the biggest budgets, right? Like we're not balling in that space. But that's what we're kind of celebrating locally. Your experience in terms of the film craft category, if you consider budgets, the comment that was made to me specifically was, it doesn't feel like we can take small moments and make them feel big. If you consider a moment or a piece of film, like, I don't know if you recall PNG, the talk with the mom and the daughter, you know, brushing her hair. And it was, I mean, even talking about that piece gives me goosebumps because of the fact that it had to be an ad. That was something small that was just well done. The body of work that you saw, would you say that, were they all big? Were they small? Was it a whole range? Was it just culturally relevant stories? What things did you see in the film space? Because we still push a lot of film, right, as a country. So what did you pick up in the film category?
So in the film category, it was actually quite a big array of the spectrum was quite wide. There were the really high, like big budget pieces and then some really small moments. One of the pieces that won gold is Testro, which is a stop frame animation with little animals across Australia that's voiced by the same dude who made the characters, he made the sets and voiced some of these characters. Very simple, small production. But, you know, I think, again, it's like the idea was the thing that just pushed this work to the top. And all those small considerations that were made in the production of the pieces. And then you have like some work from the Middle East, for instance, and the European work where, again, like in the room, someone would be like a producer to ECD is like, oh, who directed that? And they'd say, let's say like Spike Jonze. And they're like, oh, I want to use him. And I'm like, I don't know. That's not really in our universe here. And, you know, just to speak to the budget conversation, also another hilarious one is there's actually a low budget category. And the measure for low budget is it under $130,000? So, okay. I mean, technically, the entire country could enter this category. Loophole, use it, don't use it. But it becomes quite interesting in terms of looking at the work from a budget perspective. The work that rose to the top wasn't necessarily because, you know, it was a massive amount of money that was thrown into it. Again, idea was king. And then how that idea was elevated through the craft was the measure.
So the, I mean, it's still the story, right? I mean, it's still, I guess to Sohana's point earlier, it's about how it makes you feel ultimately. It's still, even though you're in like the craft space, there's still a feeling that we're kind of going for. I mean, maybe that's a thing for me that I've been picking up over the last while is, you know, there's so many different things that pop up with the themes. Let's say budget's a thing, aspect, criteria, or AI or tech, whatever it is, innovation, still how it makes you feel at the end of the day.
I think just to jump in here is if you look at the work that is in the category, did get some metal, was either funny or purpose work, actually, in our category. There are one or two pieces that fall in the middle. For instance, like a Spread Beats, yes, it made you feel something more like mind-blowing, but yeah.
Yeah. I'll just speak a little bit about maybe from my side with data and tech. There are two separate categories, but these two kind of popped up everywhere. Spotify Spread Beats. I mean, we've all mentioned it in some way or another. If you haven't seen that, it's an incredible piece of tech. Apparently, I believe that it took them 9 months or 12 months of programming. And the thing is just the craft is incredible. And it's an interesting thing with a piece like that that just kind of goes into all these different categories with its tech, with its form craft, even PR, I would imagine. So that was a pretty big piece for me that popped up. And then Michelo, A Lap of Legends, if you haven't seen that case study, it's like use of data on another level, right? The production of that in real time data is like crazy next level. Those were two pieces from my side. But maybe what I'd like to ask Johanna is your favorite piece in your category, and was it the Grand Prix?
Yeah, so this is another interesting thing about being the jury president is you may have a favorite piece, but you can try and motivate for it. And I did. We actually went through two rounds of voting for this piece because I kept speaking it up. And so did other people in the room. but it ended up being silver. And it honestly is really a piece I've thoroughly enjoyed, and you all know it. It's called In Transit. It was for Transgender Visibility Day, where they did this thing. They took the person that is the voice of the New York subway and, you know, like who announces all the things like, please mind the step or whatever specific train line. They came out as transgender. It was so clever because they used that exact same person to introduce Transgender Visibility Day, where they did the announcements as a woman this time. And I just thought, just from a simplicity point of view, it's such a simple idea, executed so beautifully and apparently at great scale, like everyone saw it and heard it. And what an impact to have it appear in an everyday format like that, I thought was genius. Incredibly moving, incredibly powerful. In the radio and audio category, what was really great was that a lot of the work was about flexing the sheer power of audio in being able to solve a problem. So that was really encouraging. It was great to see that. So, you know, when we were talking earlier about traditional radio versus audio ideas, I think that was what was something that we need to look at as a country, because we're not short of insights and ideas. It's just that we're defaulting to the easiest medium, and not that that medium isn't important to us. In fact, it was a comment I made on the jury that there are still countries where radio is such a big medium, so we can't ignore it. But when I think of ideas like Magnetic Stories, which is the piece that did win gold, sorry, In Transit won silver only, but it's like taking audio and solving a problem and also telling a story. So we have that capability and we do it so well. It's just that maybe we need to think of it in other ways. So Magnetic Stories, if you've ever been through MRI, it's quite a scary experience. The sounds that play are very frightening, especially for kids. I mean, it's scary for adults too, which is what makes the idea powerful, is they developed these audio stories that took the sounds that you hear and transformed them. It not transformed the sound, wrote a story around the sounds that it changed the narrative of what that sound is doing. So it's like, oh, this is a robot gone crazy, or, you know, this is a train going through a tunnel. That was also a really moving piece and really clever because it's doing something to solve a problem. So yeah, I feel like if you ask me which piece was my favorite, it was In Transit, just for the simplicity and impact. My second was Magnetic Stories. And also there was a lovely, silly, wacky piece, which was the Tail Orchestra for Pedigree. You need those pieces that don't try to over orchestrate a strategy in the idea. It's just that we want to sell Pedigree snacks. These dogs get excited when they see the snacks. Oh, imagine what we could do when they wag their tails using an orchestra. So yeah, lots of great ideas, but also really strong ideas that truly honor the medium of audio.
This is the responsible creative in me from a country that doesn't have the ability to do irresponsible stuff, right? Like, not that tail wagging is irresponsible, but it's like, oh my God, you guys did this thing for flipping dogs. I mean, what the hell? Like, who? How? When it comes to work, when it comes to these themes around AI, there's this like pattern behavior, right? So you see work that mimics work, or work that feels like it falls into a specific theme and space and, you know, a specific logic. And those ideas, like the tail wagging, it's like that celebrates human creativity, right? Because that for me is like, no AI, no tech's just going to come up with this idea. You need those things that feel crazy, because you will go through things. Those ideas that are just so crazy, and they are the things that really stand out for me, besides the stuff that's like purpose and real and responsible, you know. But Pete, you've spoken about your favorite piece, right? Like, maybe for South Africa, what do you think we need to do to up our PR game?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I always try to look at the work in retrospect, especially in PR space. Truth be told, ahead of this conversation, I went through a lot of the work again, and there's a lot of work there that we actually can do, if I'm honest. The simplicity of some of those pieces, there's some bravery in that. There's bravery in those simple ideas. We spoke a little bit earlier around the simplicity of an idea, and we don't have to make this big thing. We need to celebrate the simplicity of the idea. So I think for us, there's two parts. One is believe in our power to develop, even in the smallest places, the opportunity for a great idea. And then I would just say the craft, guilty of it as long as we're all South Africans. Advertising is a space where we're always under pressure to get things out and get it done quickly and move on. For those who've built case studies, if you haven't done about 6 or 7 rounds at least, it's not there yet. I would try and encourage us all to have those conversations with our clients to go, if we think and we know how much time it takes to build out a case study and how many iterations we go through, we've got to ask ourselves the same question. Are we doing the same for the ideas?
Yeah.
Because I think we move through the ideas so quickly and get it out and there's a deadline and we move and move and move. But I think just sitting with the idea and exploring different ways of doing it, we should spend the same amount of time on that as the case study.
Fair enough. Naledi, film, what do you think we need to do better to up our game?
I'm going to echo Pete's sentiment. I think the consistent thing throughout all these pieces, because they do submit a craft case study. And I think the thing that really stood out to me, and I think I would like, we would have little chats in between about how's it going. And I'm just like, they have time. They have so much time to make the stuff. Time does really make so much of a difference, because being able to craft really just needs more time outside of budget constraints or technical constraints. But yeah, time fixes a lot. Mm-hmm. I think, honestly, I don't have another answer for you. I think it really was another big differentiator between my experience as a South African creative working in the industry versus hearing that this piece took 9 months, or we created little sculptures and baked each individual one per week.
You know, we're an industry that's starved with time. We're a time-based industry from a remuneration point of view. So we're always kind of swimming uphill and carving out our own time. So it's always this kind of juggling thing, you know. So, but Pete, just on the case study, there was a thing I said to some of the guys here around building case studies that, you know, it's, you know, when you go through film, you think, okay, cool, you're going to have 2 offlines or 3 offlines, then you go into the online and then you're done, finished, cool. But I'm like, no, we're going to have 100 offlines. You've got to get your head into that, because often I've seen it with some of the creatives who are maybe fresher, newer to the case study building space. Yeah. And it's like, okay, cool, this is my script and this is the thing. And now we're done. It's an interesting thing, because I'm judging Cannes, lucky to do the direct category, which will be consuming my whole weekend. You'll see versions of case studies that change from one show to the next, because people are constantly optimizing. There's a thing of like, oh, this didn't resonate, or this is the feedback. And it's like, there's this obsession with the detail that makes and bulletproofs your case study. And I guess as a country, I'll kind of use this as a way to close off this podcast, is that we've got great ideas. We need to package them maybe better in some parts, right? As a country, I think we could all do with that. We've got, if you consider the PR aspect, we impact and scale. How do we drive that more? Like you were saying, how do we make sure that our work has more, not just, I'll call it vanity metrics, as opposed to the metrics that count, organic reach, earned media, and so on. We always doing film, you know, we constantly making TV ads. And I think South Africa is known to be good in this space, right? Like, even considering the low budget norm, but we tend to do well in this space. And I think it'll be interesting for us to put even better ideas on the table. We are good at crafting. I think we should be doing well in that space. And then just with radio and audio, I think it's interesting because we're a country that writes well with its locally relevant work. I don't know if we're celebrating as much of that. We had one piece that did well at the show that followed one show, which was DNAD. I won't get into that now, but it was a radio piece. It was local and it did well. And it proves that we're still in that space as a country. But how do we take the radio and audio category further, as opposed to just relying on our craft in writing, be it writing in language or writing with insight?
Can I add something on that? Like, apart from just our, like, I believe what we've said is true. We have all the talent, all the ability. I don't think we're short on that. We have all the insights. But maybe the other thing we need is to take the journey with the clients and with the strategists, is the problems we solve need to be more interesting.
Yeah.
And that sounds like a weird thing to say. I don't mean to construct a problem or out of nowhere, but to interrogate the problem we have to solve instead of making it a generic, because every brand generally has, if you think of the fast food chicken brands, right, they all have the same problem to solve. How do we get a better problem or a deeper problem that then invites a solution that's more unusual. And I think that's what I'm also finding interesting in some of the work we saw. Like I look at spread beats and I go, oh, that's so interesting. It's so niche almost. It's like, oh, we need to talk to the media guys and they only deal in spreadsheets and they don't believe we do music videos. So it's quite a niche problem. But when you look at it and look at the impact and how it was done, it was beautiful. So I think the journey goes hand in hand with our partners to help us get to better solves.
No, it's a really good point. We see it with all these different categories and different shows. Like everyone has a part to play, right? So I think what you're highlighting is because I was going to say, there's also this level of taste, right? In the communication world where we go, if I may, where we go, oh, this is, do people care about this? If you go back to the purpose or the intention behind communication, it's to communicate something that connects with an audience. And unfortunately, and this is me getting on my little high horse for a second, is unfortunately, we don't see the world as it is. We see it as we are. And so when we apply that to communication and the problems and the solutions that we're putting on the table for our audience, our target market, we think sometimes that, oh, this will resonate. And sometimes there's this thing of like, we got to be relevant. We got to connect. We got to, and I'm not speaking about purpose. I'm just saying that if I'm selling soup, communicate it to the audience in a way that they would appreciate it and make an impression on them. Not impressions, impression speak. But I think if we can do that, that's the purpose of what we're meant to do in communication. Awards kind of help us set a standard, but awards also, you know, it's like research on what's happening in the market and what's connecting and what's resonating. And I think sometimes we get lost in this. We think this is what works. But actually, strategically, if we have the research, no, this doesn't work. And if we can communicate that authentically to that audience, we should have work that resonates and is successful. We lose sight of that, and that helps drive a standard that isn't necessarily the standard that we really can achieve or really can set. I'm off my high horse. I think we're about to run out of time. And I know Cannes is coming up. That's going to be another set of anxiety levels for everyone in the creative industry and clients and so on. Are there any last thoughts from anyone?
I'll give you one just because it was something you were speaking about earlier. And it's not a name and shame, but it's just really interesting. One of the pieces, just talking about the work again, there was a piece for Console. Now, it's not Console Glass. It's a manufacturer that manufactures equipment, in this case, washing machines. So for everybody out there, you know, we're not berating you for not making great case studies. This is just an example of it happens everywhere. I saw this piece and I was like, wow, this is such a really smart piece. They were sponsoring a football jersey, and in Brazil, they've got lots of sponsors. So they were going to sponsor it. The idea was they put in the washing machine, you take it out. There was no sponsorship, including their own. So it was the first time a team had a jersey with not like branding everywhere. But I loved it so much, and I thought, let me go and search for it. And the case study that I found was the original case study. It was okay. Let me just say it's okay. And it just blew my mind to go, this was the same piece, just told completely differently. So I've got a little talk that I'm doing. You just compare the two, and it just shows you the power of storytelling. So I know we were talking about we're such good storytellers. Like, let's apply that storytelling and narrative to our case studies in the same way.
Yeah, in one of the previous podcasts, Alex from Cape Town spoke about that last 10%, the effort that you put in. It's like we celebrate all the stuff that we've done and we think, okay, cool, our job's done and now we're going to move on and we're just going to put a case study together. But it doesn't work that way. Every bit is hard. Everything is effort. And without that effort, you're kind of robbing yourself of the opportunity you can really realize. Naledi, anything from you, Sahana?
I think my last words really is just, film is a space that we could still do so much better in, you know, in the coming years. It's a space that we've done well in previously. Yeah, I think all the notes that we've made along this journey, aka podcast, are just such interesting provocations for getting us there. You know, it's about walking the journey with the client, with the strategist, solving interesting problems and finding the interesting way to tell, even if it is just a very traditional narrative.
Thanks. There was a thing, just a little thing with Cannes last year for the first time. They said there was a correlation between
work that works and work that's creative. In terms of the winning work last year, there was a stronger correlation. And I think everything counts. The problem you're solving, building the relationship with clients, it's all that stuff counts. You've got to work at all to make better work, right? So Hanna, anything from your side?
Yeah, to say also that when we're entering, really need to interrogate the subcategories, because the jury members, and certainly in our jury, they went like, is this really whatever? Mm. Say it was custom content. Is this piece really suitable for that subcategory? Sometimes we forget that the subcategories in the judging process are really important. When you win, you're not thinking of which category, you're just excited it won. So I think we could do better at interrogating that. And then obviously we've spoken about what we could do better, and not to fall into the trap of loving ourselves sometimes just unconditionally, but to kind of go like, we do stand up on those international stages. I was really proud of our traditional radio, even like the Hansa Pilsner stuff was really funny. It won in humor, bedtime stories. People were speaking about it in the room, the Flake Project. Halls, which wasn't from South Africa, but written by a South African now living abroad. So I just want to remind us how good we are. And I think we're not only good at humor, we're good at so many other things. We're good at pathos, humor, creating meaning. So we have all the things we need. We just need to break some of our own patterns.
100%. I mean, I think I'm super pro SA, our standard and all that. And other people, the industry globally does still respect South Africans. You know, I'm seeing that through some of the conversations. I'm still experiencing that. Our reputation is still really good. We need to leverage the strengths that we do have. But guys, we never spoke about Dominican Republic. Oh my God. Sorry, Sue. We will speak about that at another stage when you're not on the podcast.
We were so bummed. It was like, I think it's just something to say on that. It's not necessarily only the glamour. You guys could talk about the glamour, but there is something about meeting the other judges in person, having those casual chats between stuff that I really missed out on. I loved our jury members and I wanted more time with them, but we had these 4 or 5 hours online. But yeah, tell me all about the glamour.
We'll tell you. I'll do a little nod on that. Sorry, Sue. But I think, you know, the one thing was child-free, nothing against parents with kids, the place you could just talk about the work. So you're getting to know the people and you're building connections with people that you take with you. So when you're breaking for lunch or you're having tea, and it's all the stresses and all the stuff you're going through and processing and insecurities and all that kind of stuff, right? You're dealing with the best of the best. You're dealing with head of this agency globally. And you're like, oh my God, this is pretty incredible. It's quite inspiring. And I have to say, just a little shout out to Kevin Swanepoel and his team for what they're doing with one show. If I can, just to wrap up, I'm comparing it to the show I'm judging now, and the volume of work might be a little less, but it's concentrated and solid, and the standard is high. One show is not an easy thing to win. If you are winning from a South African point of view, achieving winning any medal, getting merits, well done. One show is it's a pretty big deal, you know, and it was a real privilege to go to a place remote, away from distractions, and just celebrate the work and the people who are celebrating the work. And I think that's where we'll leave it for today. It was a really good chat. Good luck to everyone with awards, not just here on the podcast, but everyone who might be listening to this. I know it's award season. It's a bit crazy. It's silly season in that space. Just wanted to say thanks to Pete, to Suhana, to Naledi for giving up your time today and for making it to the podcast. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. Goodbye for now.
Talking Creative Circles is available wherever you get your podcasts.